Christmas time to come in, Christmas time to come in, Christmas time to come in, and I know I'm going home. Snowflakes are falling, my old home's calling, tall pines are humming when Christmas time's coming. Can't you hear them bells ringing, ringing joy to all? Hear them singing when it's snowing, I'll be going back to my country home.
Hi, listening friend. It's Monday, December 2nd, 2013. I'm going to start by explaining or qualifying or doing a precursor on what's about to happen, and we'll see how this all works out this week.
It's an experiment.
This is an experiment, listening friends. So welcome to today's edition of Mark and Friends. I have Jason Schiffel, co-host on the Wednesday and Friday edition of Mark and Friends, in the studio, along with the Wednesday edition, Joey Kroll.
That's for you. Cherry.
The crowd's okay. Going wild.
He's too cheap to get one of those automated crowds with all the clapping. Those are free
next
on the internet now.
Yeah. Let us know. We can get you some mints today, okay?
Hey, it's Christmas time. This is when Jason says something and I start ringing
the bell.
You went
all out.
But I did not bring cupcakes, so I'm still negligent in that. But what we're proposing to lay out is about an hour and 40-minute conversation that will maybe break into five programs for this week. We've never done it before quite this way. In fact, Joey comes and he says, now, I got some things that I'll talk about. Is this going to be pretty structured? And Jason's like, structured, structured. We don't need structure. The Holy Spirit will work us through this. So
we don't need no stinking structure.
Yeah. So we've spent about 10 or 15 minutes praying up the program, actually about 40 minutes, talking about life stories and what the Lord's been doing in our lives and getting caught up. And so it's been a lot of fun. And I think, Joey, even through your prayer, you felt like, because it's been almost a year since all three of us were in the studio, right?
Yeah, I was thinking about that, too.
About a year ago.
Last year, we were doing it all for the week of Thanksgiving, I think.
Yes.
This is like the second annual of like the Three
Stooges
Festival.
That's what I
Stooges
told him. He told me, he said, I didn't understand. I mean, we're doing this. I go, it's a tradition now. This is like, what is the thing, turducken, where you put three meats together and hopefully it turns out well? Here we go.
So we're going to see what happens now that we're airing Christmas music on Great News Radio. We're going to talk about Advent maybe and preparing for Christmas and some of the ways we can equip ourselves through prayer, through being watchful. And then I'm not quite sure. And I think for some of our listeners, Joey, I don't think or know if they know how involved you are in the new role you have at WLUJ in Springfield, Illinois. So I thought maybe a little update on what the Lord's been doing there with the ministry, kind of a lifelong dream that you've had to further your career, your ministry work through radio. And you've always known me saying, if I had enough funds, I would have hired you full time years ago. And you've been forthright saying, Mark, if you ever retire, I want your job. And I've never felt intimidated by that because you have some gifts. But give us a little update on what's going on in your life. And we'll see over the next hour or so throughout this week of broadcasts how we can engage our listeners into being prepared for Christmas, but also knowing some of the behind-the-scenes work that you're doing and what Pastor Jason is doing.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what, Mark. I know my work and my volunteerness and my part-timeness here at Great News Radio has really prepared me for the role that God has currently called me in as operations manager in the Springfield Moody affiliate area, and just so blessed there. I mean, we got a great staff there, as there's a great staff here. And a lot of people think, okay, why are you working at two different Bible teaching stations? Aren't they competition? And last I checked, I thought we were all on the same team, headed in the same direction with the same purpose, calling, and mission. And it's great. I love it. It's just like Great News Radio, but in the Springfield, Central Illinois area. It truly is a blessing to, you know, use the talents and the experience, Mark, that I have gotten with you in the last, is it 3 years?
Yeah, I think so. Because
wow.
Jason's been on the air, and that's why I haven't gotten those cupcakes in the studio yet.
You got 3 years, man. Did you get something for your 3 year?
Yeah. Joey's still waiting. I'm like a year negligent in reviews. So hey.
Joey said you just allowed him to begin to pray. So I mean, what?
Yeah. Yeah, that comes after 3 years.
But I remember the first
time. There's a lot of fine print in the contract.
I remember the first time I got a hold of Mark, I had what I thought retired from broadcasting and got into pastoring and so forth. And I came across the station. There was a God Listens You Can Too sign in Clinton right across the street from where I lived. So I'm like, you know what? Let me contact this radio station. Let me go on their website. And there was this young looking general manager, the picture on there. You remember that, Mark?
You thought he was my son, right?
Yeah. Photoshop.
And so I connected with him. I said, okay, Mark, let me.
I think was I in Israel? Oh, I was getting ready to leave for Israel or something at the time.
Something like that.
Because it was like, I was going to get back to you.
So we met at the Garden Family Restaurant, I think, in Fisher. Is mm-hmm, it? Mm-hmm. It was around there. And I walk in, and there's this not young-looking guy that I had kind of
He
expected.
Aged well between the picture and then.
Yeah. The stress of this job has taken a toll on me.
It's great. And, you know, I kind of talked about, you know, hey, what can I do for you, Mark? And, you know, your love language is service. So you're like, hey, you know what? Let's just go right with it. And you gave me all those things to do. I started recording PSAs. And so I just want to personally thank you, though. All kidding aside, personally, thank you for believing in me and letting me allow to use my gifts right here in the area, and I really do thank you for
that. Well, that was such a unique story, and yet you had such a rich background and a heart at a young age to be involved in radio, and you saw the value in how devotional thoughts, scripture being read, and you worked at it. You practiced, and you were involved in other stations, and so you were like a gift because it came at a point where, you know, we needed somebody to help with public service announcements, and you would call every time, what else can I do? And that's my love language. When somebody wants to volunteer for me, oh, I'm beaming. And so you started doing various things, but it wasn't like I had to do any training. Very, very minimal. I mean, I maybe suggested a couple things, and it's like, shoot, this guy's better than me. And I had no problem with that. I thought, this guy's gifted with his voice and his delivery, and he knew how to create radio
spots
and background noises.
Could you say that one part again? Could you say that again? Hey, let me call my wife so she's listening.
We're going to have to go to a commercial so these guys can hug or something.
So
it's like this look in their eyes right now. Yeah. It's like, oh.
And I learned that. There was that time in my life where it was like, find somebody that's gifted and talented in an area. And instead of trying to train somebody, it's like that leadership, don't try to make a duck become an eagle.
Yeah.
Find an eagle. And you were kind of like an eagle. You were gifted. You had the abilities, the talent. And so you started doing things. And then it got to the point where, gosh, I wish we could financially help them out somewhat. And I think we put out a plea. This would have been 2 years ago that we'd like to hire Joey on a part-time basis. And, you know, your funds would certainly help. But, you know, my desire was I wish I had a couple $100,000 or enough money in the bank where I could say, hey, we could hire you for a few years and have you very involved. And we talked a lot about that, but the funding of the station is always kind of tight, and we were able to give you a little stipend, but, you know, all your hours and energy and efforts and talent and expertise was like, oh, thank you, God, for Joey. And God raised up like a bookkeeper, Fran Green, who's once a week comes out and helps with paperwork, but she's an efficient accountant, very gifted, and it's like, oh, we needed that, because I was trying to do all the bookwork, too, and everything else. And then when Jason came along a few years ago, it was like, wow. And everyone knows that story. He came in just to share on a Testimony Tuesday, and suddenly halfway through the program, I thought, gosh, this guy is gifted and funny, and there's chemistry here where we get along, and I wonder if he'd entertain the idea of maybe being a part of the morning program. And it was during a period of my time where it was just me doing the morning program, and it's not really my strength, skill sets. I mean, I can help out, but I have enthusiasm and passion and sincerity, but not necessarily the gift of communication and clarity of thought. And everyone knows how I could get redundant or trapped in derailing people that have something to say. And everyone knows how my questions are, like, Jason, tell me about your wife. It'll be, Jason, tell me about your wife, but how you met her and when you met her and what else you did and what was your college degree. And I'll string 18 questions into one, and then the people will go, oh, my, where do I even start? But Jason came along a few years ago, and so here we are today in the Christmas season, and here we get to share you with the radio listening family in a unique way. And so thank you, Joey, for being available. And the update, you're in Springfield and you're with WLUJ, yet you continue to assist us with the public service announcement, with some holiday spots, with the Thursday program and Sunday worship on Sundays that airs twice on both stations. So you continue to help out and assist, and really are finding a calling unique to what God is doing, where you're in two stations, at least at this point.
Now, you and Jason have a connection. I guess, Jason, you used to also work at Jewel or a manager.
Oh, yeah.
Like Mark was.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And we both survived.
What do you want to do with that, Joey? Help me out here.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
I was trying to transition off of me. Yeah. You, Mr. Cupcake Man.
Yeah, there we go, right? Huh? Yeah, the cupcakes. Just keep rubbing them in. Hey, yeah, but so Christmas.
Yeah, we've hammered home how you and I met up and the similarities.
Yeah,
the
yeah. I mean, that's all good. But, hey, you know, we're going into Christmas season right now. And, again, I mean, everything I think is all about taking the focus off the name and the renown of the person who this season is laid upon, which is Christ Jesus. And, you know, I just really my hope for the program is that not only would you be entertained and would you laugh along with us, listening friends, but that also that you would find that place or open up that place in your life where Christ would sit gloriously, because you're bringing glory to his name, because you're living as a reflection of who Christ is. And I'd love to start out and just maybe talk about maybe Christmas in your guys' house. I mean, what did that look like? Or, you know, as we talk about being prepared for Christmas, oftentimes, I think our preparedness comes from how we were prepared.
And speaking of preparation, how about in light of making a clear, clean transition, you praying up the program, praying up just for the listener that's maybe hustling and bustling and there's all these sales going on and they're racing around this week and we all lose perspective that we can really focus on maybe what the Lord would say through us sharing some of our Christmas traditions or this Advent season. And I just always like to, like in any kind of occasion, I love friends that say, hey, let's just pray about it. Let's just pause right now, because I think it settles all of our hearts. And whenever we say, Holy Spirit, we know you're abiding, living, working in through us, but we want to have you deeply involved in this program, in what's going to transpire in the next, I guess, hour, which will be this week's worth of broadcast. But maybe pray us in to the program, and then you want us to talk a little about our Christmas traditions?
Yeah, you know, I mean, here's the idea, and we'll pray, and then we'll talk about the idea here, maybe the genesis or the catalyst for our conversation. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you that you came clothed as a man, that you put your feet on the ground, and that you walked amongst us so that you might touch us, and not touch us in some superficial way, but to touch us deeply at the very core of our being, that you would help us, as Ephesians say, to touch the light that God separated at creation so that we would know the majesty and glory of God in the face of Christ. And Lord, we ask that we would not only remember your life and your birth in this season, but we cannot talk about life without the ultimate conversation of the sacrifice of your death and your resurrection, that through life you met death and from death you conquered death with life. And that's the message of the gospel for us in this season. Lord, I pray for all those who that's the gift they need to receive this season. They don't need the Xbox 360. They don't need that new toy. They don't need that new sports item. They don't need that new TV. They don't need that new car. They need to know that the blood of Jesus covers over even them. And so, Lord, I lift them up to you. I lift that person right now, if it's you who's listening, who needs that gift. Simply place your hands out, and Jesus will freely give you that gift now for the glory and renown of his mighty name. We pray these things. Amen.
Amen.
So the idea or the catalyst is, look at, hey, we just celebrated Thanksgiving. You know, we could set the table for Thanksgiving. We could get everything ready for Thanksgiving. But ultimately, the quality of the turkey comes from the preparation of the turkey, how we basted the turkey, how we did that. How we celebrate Christmas, I think, comes from how we, the traditions that formed us, how we were prepared to come into it, and then maybe even how we had to deconstruct some of that. I'd love to hear, because, I mean, my idea of how we celebrate Christmas together now as a family is way different than my family did it. And I almost had to spend a great season of time kind of tearing apart what my family believed Christmas was to really understand what Christmas was. So maybe you could share, Mark, how you guys did Christmas and what Christmas looked like and what Christmas looks like for you now.
Shoot, I was going to jump right into how your Christmas has
influenced me. Yeah, we're not doing that. We're on you.
I know. But I like how you've turned Easter into your Christmas in a sense. That's when you really celebrate and the shifos go all out, because Easter time is such a joyous time. Where Christmas,
well, it's easy,
like,
because we've already put the tree away, so we tell the kids we've hidden the tree, go find it. It's not a big deal. But tell us about your Christmases, Mark.
One of the big gifts was the stocking, the preparation. And my mom would go out, and actually to this day still does the big stockings and all the little gifts and the munchies and the candy canes and the little toys and the Pez guys, the Santa Pez guys, and the Whoppers and all the different favorite candies. That was a big part of the Christmas gifts. We'd have those hung, and usually on Christmas Eve we could look at that, and sometimes we'd get to open up one gift. But as Christmas, we'd always gather as a family. I don't know if I'd say we'd thank God. We were kids growing up. We'd just kind of rip into the presents. And, you know, I think about being a self-centered kid. You just kind of unwrap them as fast as you can. And, you know, my mom and dad would sit there and just kind of watch and delight in us, as most parents, you know, delight in seeing their kids happy. But as I think back, it's like we didn't really have, like, the Christmas story being read. Mm. It wasn't so much that it was about Santa Claus or anything. We kind of, I think, realized the gifts came from our parents. But I think there wasn't a huge focus on Jesus being the reason of the season, or maybe just as a kid, I wasn't hearing that message as much. But, you know, as we've grown up, certainly now that's the conversation that we have, and like my mom and I, or my brothers and I, would have, is the whole focus should be on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Now, we know that Stu's listening, and we have to make amends, because I think a few weeks ago we called Stu a turkey, yeah. And he rightly emailed that one quick. He caught that and ran back with it.
Yeah.
Tell me your favorite Mark and Stu story from Christmas.
A Christmas story. There's a picture that we have of me having this big cuddly Dudley. Do you remember those? I don't know, Joey, that might be before your time.
The What's a cuddly Dudley?
A cuddly Dudley? That was
That's what I thought you and Joey were doing a little bit ago.
Yeah, that was that big. It's a dog, and that's his name was Dudley, Cuddly Dudley. It's a big, like, yellow stuffed animal, if you will, but with a dog.
Everything's making sense about you now.
Yeah, yeah. And I remember having it and hugging it, and then you see Stu in the picture crying. And so either I was bonking him on the head with it, or he wanted it or something, but I don't know. Sometimes I was thinking, I don't remember a lot of, I don't have a great memory as a child. You know, some kids remember, I accepted Christ when I was 4, and I'm like, you can remember things when you were 4? It's like, I think from about 17 on, I have memories. So, I don't know. Favorite one with Stu or Mike is, I don't know, the Cuddly Dudley was a significant one.
That's good, because Stu will give us some feedback on how that really was. Yeah, right. Obviously, he's gone through some counseling because of Cuddly Dudley. Yeah. In fact, just the name right now, he's probably weeping in Arizona.
Yeah. He's texting me now, wah, wah, wah.
Cuddly Dudley, no. What about you, Joey? Talk to us about Christmas.
Oh, I remember Cuddly Dudley. I just Googled. He wasn't he on the Bozo Show?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
the
Bozo Show. Ray
was,
Rayner
no?
and all that.
Yes.
Yeah, WGN Chicago.
That's right. That's right. Well, growing up, it was, you know what, I would love to say that we lived in a Christian household, and it was all about, like you said, Mark, the reading of the Christmas story. You know, kind of same background as you, just it was all selfishness. It was, you know, when you first get up, I mean, it's presents were neatly placed under the tree, and then within like 45 seconds, wrapping paper on the ceiling, in the bathroom. I mean, all over the place. But now my wife and I, we're trying to balance this out between, okay, how can we have Christmas and have an element of gifts received, but also how can we not focus on me, me, me in a me society and me culture? And that's a hard balance because, you know, I think Jason, you said, you know, you want to see your kids happy and blessed and so forth. But I think once their heart kind of changes into this is what I want, and, you know, their Christmas list is $5,000 worth of toys and MP3 players and such. And I think when that happens, we missed it. You know, we missed the whole thing. In fact, Colossians 2:8, I mean, I was reading this a couple of years ago and just clicked. It says, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. Colossians 2:8. So every time we get into the Christmas season, Colossians 2:8 comes to mind. So the last couple of years we've been trying to, you know, we gave our kids $10 each to say, this money's not yours. You find somebody, either you see something on the news or on the news or somebody in school or somebody who needs this money, you can either give it to them, you can buy. So they have that element of giving rather than deceiving. So I would love to say it's been working out, but we're getting there. So it's a hard balance. And I know many of us relate to that. And, we're still getting there.
And you've been married now, is this your fourth year, four years?
3 years.
3 years. And, you know, just adjusting to the new traditions
yes.
that you're making and these two children that, you know, suddenly it's like, you know, instant dad and learning to foster that sense of following mm-hmm. the Lord Jesus Christ. And, yeah, that's interesting because I think some of your traditions, too, growing up in a home that God wasn't as honored as readily as, like, the center focus of the Christmas season,
right? Oh, definitely.
Right?
I mean, we didn't grow up in a Christian house. I mean, we had a church down the street, and we were members of the church, but my parents were on the babysitting membership committee, you know. They sent us there to be babysat for. They didn't really care about the church. They didn't care about Jesus, and they, if they did, it was Christmas and it was Easter, and that's strictly what they, where they kind of planted their feet. But I agree with Joey in terms of, you know, what can we give our kids that really matters? And I think that what we're going to find is what we can give our kids that really matters isn't about giving them anything that they tangibly can put their hands on. Joey, greatly. Colossians, that's a great verse in Colossians, and I would almost put it right in with Proverbs. Whenever we talk about kids, I go to Proverbs chapters 1 through 10 because it's all about bringing up my kids. You know, listen, my son, to your father's instructions. Don't forsake your mother's teaching. I mean, we run our kids through Proverbs all the time. And Proverbs 10 says, ill-gotten treasures are of no value, but righteousness delivers from death. And we know that on this side of the cross, we're so blessed to understand that righteousness is always attached to Christ. So the treasure that we will have will be Christ. In fact, Proverbs says in chapter 1 that we're to seek this righteousness like gold and silver. We're to seek it like the greatest treasure in the world, and through it we'll gain the fear of the Lord. The greatest gift I think I can give my son is a healthy dose of the fear of the Lord. And not the fear like, oh, my God, God's going to zap me because I've been bad. But if I was to lose this relationship, it would break my heart. I love Jesus more than I love my wife. I love Jesus more than I love anything else in my life. And I'm working right now on loving Jesus more than myself. And that's really hard.
Yeah.
And I think that we all know that.
Yeah.
But I want to give my son not a gift. I want to give him a legacy. Because I think if I give him a legacy, that's the greatest gift. Because that's a gift he can keep giving.
And I'm thinking of two things. As you say, you love Jesus more than your wife. There's some listeners like, wait, that's wrong. But as you love Jesus more than your wife, you
yes.
learn to love your wife the best way you could possibly
when
love
When Christ,
him.
Who is your life, appears, you'll appear with him in glory. My marriage will have none of the glory of God, none of the greatness and righteousness of God if I'm not clothed in Christ, and Christ becomes my life. He has to become on my own, I can love my wife, but it's a hollow kind of love. On my own, I can do all those things, but it's hollow. When I go to the author and perfecter of all these things, God Almighty, Jesus, who made his sacrifice on the cross so that I would be free to experience these things and receive these things, I can do it way better than I would on my own. Look at my greatest enemy is me. Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who's against us? It ends with a question mark. The question mark, the answer to that question, if God is for us, who's against us, is me. I'm the one who's always against me. I'm the one who's always battling Christ. Christ's greatest enemy is oftentimes the way that Satan would use my heart to bring me away from Christ. You know, as we go into Christmas, Christmas is about reorientating us. Christmas is about reminding us how God came clothed as a man so that he would reach out and he would touch us. It says in John chapter 1 that he came and he tabernacled amongst us, which the tabernacle, the allusion is clear. It's the Old Testament tent of meeting where God's people would come to meet with God. And yet, look at how God in his craziness, because God is crazy, let's just be honest with you. God in his craziness doesn't call God's people to
Don't write in right now, please.
That's okay.
Let him finish his point. You'll understand when he finishes.
That's okay. You get what you pay for, and he's not paying me. So, look at in the Old Testament, God's people were called to the tent of meeting to meet with God. Here in his lavish love, God comes and meets with us. And not only does he come to meet with us, but as we see in Philippians chapter 2, he emptied himself of everything that it meant to be him, everything that it meant to be. He humbled himself and became a man so that he would meet with us. No longer did he say, come to me. He says, I'm going to come to you. And then as I come to you, I'm going to call you to me. You know what? God in his infinite wisdom and his infinite love gave us a face that we could understand. You know, in the Old Testament, it's crazy. I mean, God comes and he's like trumpets and lightning and thunder and everything. And God's people are like, ah, and they stand at a distance because they don't know what to do with this. It's overwhelming and it's crazy. And yet God comes and he goes, wait, you know what? I'm going to come down as a man. You're going to see my face. You're going to look into my eyes. You're going to hear me breathe. You're going to see me eat. You're going to touch me. And you're going to believe that I'm real. And don't we see it throughout the Gospels, people just being radically changed, centurions, Pharisees, the people with the hardest hearts. We see a guy like Paul who killed Christians for a living. Boom, saved. I mean, Jesus. I mean, that's it. And, you know, we can get kind of hokey-hokey with the Jesus is the reason for the season. But he is. He really, truly is. And my heart grieves sometimes that that's been co-opted as some sort of slogan for the Christmas season, because on a much deeper level, he is the reason for this season. But he's not just the reason for this season. That's the falsehood in this slogan. He's the reason for your life. He's the reason for all that you have.
Great thoughts, Jason. We'll continue this conversation tomorrow. Thanks for listening. This is Mark Burns, Pastor Jason Schiffo, and Joey Crowe with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.